going to read up to about verse 20 or so. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly, everybody say, suddenly. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest. Hallelujah. And on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told to them. Lord Jesus, as we continue to rejoice and enjoy ourselves in fellowshipping and preaching and teaching and just worshiping and singing and making music before you, pray that that presence and spirit would continue. That as our minds and hearts are now very open and attentive and aware of your presence, that we would be able to plant a seed of a word that would grow into something beautiful and amazing by faith in this coming year. Amen. If you want the word to be planted inside of you today for greatness by faith, would you say amen?
Amen.
And the title of my message today is How to Make Angels Rejoice. How to Make Angels Rejoice. I enjoyed having Brother Treadwell and his wife with us last week. Truly enjoyed the ministry of the word, and it was nice to hear somebody preaching that wasn't afraid to use big words and wasn't afraid to talk about artificial intelligence and world events and world leaders and just to dig into the word of God. And I could tell by his presentation that he had just made some updates and upgrades to it, with wife mentioning that some of his articles had just taken place within a couple of days of the service that we had with him. And also I could tell by his preaching that he was preaching a brand new message that he was working on, and it was just great to see raw material. You know, and I told her, I said, let's have all the evangelists and ministers, and when they're getting ready to write new stuff and preach new types of messages to the church across the nation and even across the world, that they come to Fairfield and preach it here first.
Amen.
In the raw, in the rutted tumble with all of the splinters still on it. Hallelujah. And it just got me so excited and so worked up. And this message, I don't even remember when this message came out. I think it came about in one of our Feed My Sheep Friday night services, and it just hit me. I'm going to preach that. And the title of this message, How to Make Angels Rejoice. Are you ready to receive the Word of God?
Yeah.
Look at your neighbor and ask him, are you ready to receive? Are you ready? The first thing that I have to tell you today is that angels do not cry. No matter how beautiful the precious moments figurines are that you have been given and that you have displayed at your house, angels do not cry. There is no example or instance that I could find in the Word of God where they were crying. Angels are messengers and workers in God's heavenly kingdom. And they are solely tasked with delivering God's messages to the world of men. Jacob said they are going up and down between heaven and earth, obeying God and carrying out His divine plans and mandates constantly, day and night, because it's always day somewhere on planet earth. So the angels are always busy doing God's work. And there are warrior angels who battle against the forces of evil. And they keep the devil and his angels in check. They protect the righteous who serve God faithfully. And they war against anyone or anything that tries to stand in the way of the will of God. Hallelujah. It was an angel that went out into Egypt in the city of Cairo and went through all of the houses in Egypt. The death angel, the Bible says, and took the lives of the firstborn of both men and beasts. Amen. And the angels fought for Israel time and time again, standing up and striking down sometimes hundreds of thousands of soldiers by the power and the authority and the strength that God gave them. But we never see angels crying. It said in Psalm 34:7, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear Him and delivers them. Aren't you glad, amen, that the angels are not subject to melancholy moods and dark clouds of depression? Hallelujah, but they're always ready to do what God has sent them to do.
Yes, praise God.
In Psalm 91:11-12, it says, for He will command His angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. And on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. The angels are always on guard, and they're always active and busy. I have not had the privilege of personally, that I'm aware of, actually seeing an angel face to face. I have a friend that pastors in the suburb of San Francisco, and he was preaching at Brother Terry Griffith's. He was actually just being a part of a service at Terry Griffith's church there in West Monroe, and Brother Hernandez and his wife were there preaching, and the power of God was moving and sweeping the building like it was here a little while ago. And Brother Hernandez turned around to my friend and he said, do you see the angels in this building? And of course, he hadn't seen any angels anywhere before. And God opened his eyes and he said, along the walls of the sanctuary, on either side of the building, that angels were standing sentinel and guarding the building as the worship of the people of God was going forth. Amen. We need to understand, friend, there is a spiritual realm, and there is a God that sits on His throne, and this world is His creation, and we are here to do His bidding. Amen. God's holy angels also appear in dreams and in bodily form, and they carry on conversations and are liaisons between God's people on earth, and they give us guided tours and divine insights of the holy realm and the plans of God. Amen. But one thing I cannot find an angel ever doing in the Bible, they never cry.
Amen. Amen.
They are never doubtful or negative, but I see them curious about God's interactions with the human race. I see them as cooperating with us as we carry out God's will, but I never see them crying. When I do expressing emotion. Hallelujah, they're always doing the same thing. And they are rejoicing and praising and magnifying Him who lives forever and ever. Hallelujah, I think we can learn a few things from the angels. Hallelujah. I know we're here in the flesh, and I know we struggle with the battle of the carnal mind. I know we're in a battle with Satan. I know we're in a battle with the fallen and wicked world. We shed many tears, and those things are collected up. We pray many prayers, and those things are collected up by angels and collected up to be distributed in the end times, in the last days, at the appropriate moment. But angels always know what they've got to do, and that is that angels love to rejoice. The first time we see angels rejoicing is at the creation of the world. In Job 38, verse 4, it says, "Where were you?" God speaking to Job. "Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? And on what were its bases sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone? And when the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Where were you?"
Hallelujah, that's right. Amen.
Hallelujah, I feel the Holy Ghost here today. He said, "Where were you?" The first time in the Bible angels rejoice is when God creates the planet Earth, and He creates the stars and the moons that surround them, and all of the galaxies and universes beyond the comprehension of the mind of man. And the angels stood up and they said, "Holy is He, great and mighty God and King. You are creator of all things. All power in heaven and earth. All power, glory to God." And the second time we see angels rejoicing is at the of the Savior. In Luke chapter 2, the angel said to the shepherds, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news, a great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill among men." We see them rejoice at the creation and the birth of the universe. And again, we see them rejoice at the creation and the birth of the Messiah, the Anointed.
Yes.
Hebrews 1:6. And again, when He brings the firstborn into the world, He says, "Let all God's angels worship Him." Can we worship Him today? I said, can we worship Him today? If the angels had something to shout about, the Bible says, "Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to Him." Hallelujah. Can somebody say hallelujah when how to make the angels rejoice?
Hallelujah.
When the tax collectors and the sinners were all drawing near to Him, Jesus knew what was going on heaven. He could see both the carnal and the spiritual realms at once, simultaneously understanding that this was a moment. Hallelujah. And you know who was among them? Jesus said to the Pharisees, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. Hallelujah. Because not only were the angels rejoicing when the Messiah Jesus was born, but so was Abraham, and so was Isaac, and so was Jacob, and so was Joseph. Hallelujah. Every great man and woman of God that ever served him all rejoiced together with the angels. The tax collectors and the sinners were all drawing near to him, and the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." Yeah. The problem with us is we don't see what we should see. Yeah. That God is doing things right in front of our faces, and all we can do is grumble and complain about it.
That's right.
Come on.
That's right. That's right. Preach it, bro. Preach.
Amen.
Yes.
And so Jesus decides that he's going to address this issue. And so he told them this parable. What man of you having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." And Jesus said, "Just so, I tell you that there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance." There is a time to shout, and there is a time to rejoice.
Yes, right.
Hallelujah.
And he went on and he said, "Or one woman having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and seek diligently until she finds it. And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost.'" And Jesus said, "Just so. Hallelujah. I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents." The third time we see angels rejoicing and shouting in the Bible is when someone is birthed by the Word of God. Angels rejoice, amen, when the world was brought into existence by the Word of God. Angels rejoice when the living Word, Jesus, was birthed into the world. And angels rejoice the third time when a sinner is birthed again of the water and the Spirit. How do we make angels rejoice? Hallelujah. I'll tell you how to make an angel rejoice. You birth something from nothing. Hallelujah. By speaking the word of faith. Hallelujah. That's how you make angels rejoice.
Amen.
Matthew 21:21. And Jesus answered them, "Truly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what has been done to the fig tree, but even if you say to this mountain," amen, "there is no more beautiful words in heaven than when a sinner says with their mouth, 'God, I am a sinner, have mercy on me.'" And when that soul is born again, the angels rejoice. Hallelujah. You can say to this mountain, "Be taken up and thrown into the sea." It will happen. And whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive if you have faith. What does that have to do with anything? Just hold on. Do you think the angels rejoiced when David and Mabel Isle decided to start the Jesus' name, Pentecostal church 70 years ago?
Yes.
Do you think they shouted their worship to God when they convened the first official church meeting?
Amen.
Do you think they were present? Hallelujah, when they called the service to order?
Amen.
Do you think they are present in this building right now?
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Do you think the angels rejoiced when Philip and Lois Cooper decided to open Feed My Sheep in Fairfield?
Amen.
Do you think the angels were celebrating when the first meal and the first Bible devotion were given in that old converted service station?
Yes.
How about when the first person was filled with the gift of the Holy Spirit there in the prayer room in the back? How about when the first person repented and submitted to water baptism in that great name? I don't think the angels were standing to the side like a bunch of grumbling Pharisees. Oh, gossiping back and forth. Imagine it with me today. Well, what do you think about this one, Michael? Well, I don't know, Gabe. I hope they don't burn the taters, hallelujah. Nothing worse than the smell of a burnt tater. No, sorry, that's not what they were doing. They were celebrating and declaring God's awesomeness, just like the prophet Zechariah did to the Jewish exiles. Zechariah 4:8, then the word of the Lord came to me. Oh, that the word of the Lord would come to some of you. Oh, that the word of the Lord would come to some of us. And that we would get a picture of what God is doing. That we could see what the angel sees. Don't let me see. God, I don't need to see what you see. God, I don't need to be as smart as you. God, I don't need to sit on your throne or tell you how to do. But if you could just let me see what the angels see. My God, if we could see what the angels see, it would change our world. If we could just see what the angels see, it would change our lives. We would turn the world upside down.
Upside down. Praise God. Hallelujah.
The hands, the word of the Lord came to me saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house, and his hands shall also complete it.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
And then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. For whoever has despised the day of small things shall rejoice and shall see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel. The Apostle Paul told the church in Philippi, for I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Sound cool. He's not called the beginning and the end for effect. And he's not called the author and finisher, the founder and perfecter of our faith, just to sound officious. Why do angels rejoice? Why did they rejoice when God created the heavens and the earth? Why did they rejoice when the Son of God was born into the planet? Why do they rejoice when a sinner repents of their sins and turns their hearts to God? It is because they know their God. And they know that he never does anything by accident. And they know that he's not a God that starts a bunch of projects but fails to finish them. They know that God another aspect of his plan, and they know that God always finishes what he starts. Hallelujah. They know that God has the patience and the grace and the mercy to get us from the slavery of sin to the land of liberty and promise. Even if we've got to cross a Red Sea to get there, and even if we've got to wander in the wilderness for 40 years, the angels rejoice because they know when God something It creates things like that. That is going to result in something magnificent and never before seen on the planet or in any of creation and pre-creation or post-creation. They know that when God speaks it, He's about to do something that He's never done before. And I know that Solomon, in his depressive state that he was in at times, would say that there is nothing new under the sun. Hallelujah. But I wonder what Solomon said. Hallelujah. While he was hanging out with Abraham when the Messiah Jesus was born. I wonder if old Abraham looked at him and said, hey, old grouchy Solomon. Hey, old depressive dark cloud Solomon. Watch this. Watch what my God is about to do next. Hallelujah. And Jesus came out of his mother Mary and the angels rejoiced. Hallelujah. And then the day of Pentecost came, and then publicans and sinners and harlots came, and then demons were cast out, and signs and wonders were performed. Oh, and all the angels were like, whoa, what's he getting ready to do now? The Bible says the angels desire to look into the things that God is doing. They are excited. They're like kids on Christmas Eve because they know that God is getting ready to do it again. He's getting ready to pull the angelic mind, and they are going to rejoice. Hallelujah. Sometimes that's why Joshua told the people, and that's why God told Joshua how to bring down the walls of Jericho. You tell the people to shut up and let the priests go on blowing their trumpets and worshiping God.
Amen.
6 days in a row. And on the seventh day, you tell the people to shut up and let the priests go on blowing the trumpets and singing and go around those walls 7 times.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Because, amen, it's an understanding. It's comprehended in the supernatural realm where angels live and dwell, eat, sleep, and breathe through all eternity. Hallelujah. That way, that God, they just got to be ready. They just got to be ready. And it's got to be ready.
Amen.
Hallelujah. It's got to be ready. Why? Yeah. Ready for what? Ready to shout again. Yeah. Ready to rejoice again.
Hallelujah.
Let's stand together today. How do we make the angels rejoice?
Hallelujah.
We repent of our sins.
Amen.
We call out to God to be found in our lostness. We have a change of heart and mind, and we no longer run from God and mock at everything to do with God. And we start hungering and thirsting for His eternal love and His spiritual kingdom of heaven. How do we make angels rejoice? We stop running from the call that God has placed on our lives. We stop making excuses. Hallelujah, Brother Morris, don't tell me, amen, that after you retire and after you get 70 some odd years old, that God still doesn't have a work for you to do. Hallelujah. If that 70 some odd year old man can amble his way in here on Monday morning and park his carcass on the front pew and start speaking in tongues and calling on the name of Jesus, and he can walk down to that soup kitchen, hallelujah, he's doing what God called him to do, amen, 50 years ago. And you know what happens when Brother Morris gives the devotion? Angels rejoice. There it is. There it is. That's why God saved him. And now he's doing it.
Yes. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus.
God didn't save us to sit on a pew and look pretty.
Right.
Although that's helpful, especially for me when I preach. God saved us and called us to good works.
That's right. Amen.
Yes.
Things that do not exist that God wants to bring into existence.
Yes.
Yes.
Amen. Amen.
Take what is not and bring together things and destroy the strongholds of Satan.
Yes.
We stop running from God. We stop making excuses.
Yes.
We stop letting the carnal mind rule the roost.
Amen.
And we
Amen.
Invite Jesus to come and live
yes.
inside our hearts
yes, Lord.
Full
yes.
time.
Yes.
Wow, I could have never guessed when I wrote that last line in my message what we was going to talk about in our Bible class today.
Uh-huh.
How to make the angels rejoice. I'll tell you what. If you decide to start following God, and get your heart right with God and start pursuing the calling and the good works that God placed on your life, I'll tell you what, I'll rejoice a little bit too.
Praise God.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Tell you what, I'll rejoice a little bit too.
Amen. Amen.
I don't have a choice after preaching this message now. I gotta ask what I preach. Yeah, how many of you were here last Sunday when Pastor Al got all weird and started running around the building?
Amen. Yes.
You know what I was thinking about? And it wasn't this message, but it came to obviously it connects it all in together. But what I was thinking about, he was talking about the devil's gonna do this 666 and the mark of the beast. The Antichrist is coming, the world, one world government, all this stuff he's talking about, you know, the stuff that everybody talks about prophecy. And I was just like, I didn't even know it was here. I just started getting excited.
Did
you get excited about the Antichrist? No. Did you get excited about the mark of the beast? No. Did you get excited about one world? No. Yeah, I am getting excited about a one world government. That's what I got excited about. Because of all the things that the Bible prophesied about nations and about the Messiah Jesus, all came to pass exactly as they had been foretold. There's one thing that hasn't happened yet. Jesus is coming back.
That's right.
You know why I was shouting Sunday? Because it just hit me.
Hallelujah.
Everything else came true.
Amen.
Everything else came true.
Praise the Lord.
We are going to be under a divine monarchy.
Whoa. Yes. Hallelujah. Praise
and Jesus, the monarch, is going to sit on his throne.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you. And we are going to judge angels that rule and reign over nations of the world.
Yes. Praise the Lord.
The Word of God just gets me excited.
Yes.
God always finishes what he starts.
Oh, yes. Amen.
Angels rejoiced at the birth of the planet because they knew that God just started something.
Amen.
It's going to be cool to see. When he birthed the Messiah, he got excited. Angels got excited because they knew God just started something.
Amen.
And we'll see him. He did everything he was supposed to do, and now he's sitting up in heaven glorified. You know what they're doing now, day and night, about sense? Blessing and honor and glory and power. Worthy is he who sits and to the Lamb that was slain. All praise and power forever and ever. And when Jesus saved you from your sins and brought you out, the angels rejoiced a third time.
Hallelujah.
Because they don't just see the fact that you turn around and change. They see that you got born again. They see that you were birthed into the kingdom. And they see the future that's coming to you.
Hallelujah.
They know that God birthed you because he had things for you to do. And they can't wait to see what it is. Let's bow our heads together today.